Yeah, let's turn to 1 Timothy. We're just kind of led to go a little different direction here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Adrian was talking about this earlier, and I thought it's kind of interesting to kind of bounce on this. I'm like, yeah, that scripture just came to my mind. Popped up in my soul, for my spirit, right? Yeah, oh, hey, Mr. Gary Mahomes back there. It was just fine teaching. Mr. Gary Mahomes.
What did you say, 1 Timothy?
1 Timothy chapter 4, okay. Verse 1. And some people think I'm a little, you know, maybe we're a little extreme sometimes. Oh, you're just extreme. You're just this. Now, I want to read this really quick, and I want to take just a quick second before we move on any farther, but kind of prove my point here. And it says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, how many believe we're in the latter times?
Yes.
Some shall depart from the faith. How many people departed from the faith during COVID? Do you realize the how many people during that time when they left church, they never returned?
Yeah.
And they're still at our church? Right? Well, what happened? Did God's will change before COVID?
No.
Or after COVID? It's still the same, right? So nothing changed. What happened? People change.
Yeah.
And then what else does it say here? It says, depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Here we go. Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their what? Conscience seared with a hot iron. There's another place here too. Pastor, you're just crazy. That is radical. Am I really? Romans chapter 1. Verse 28. And these are people who are, again, led away with sin. They're being deceived. And it says, what in 28? Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So we're seeing here, what is it? It's attack on your thinking, right? Where do these people, where did the knowledge get attacked? It's because they gave themselves to what? Seducing spirits. And then verse 28, to retain God in their knowledge. I'm going to tell you what. If we don't retain God in our knowledge, here's what's going to happen. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then it goes on and it talks about what kind of activity they're involved in. Interestingly enough, it says in verse 2 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Can I ask you something too? I'm going to think about 30 years ago, all the stuff on TV and everything was promoted in colleges and everything. What would people have thought 30 years ago if they could see right now? Well, let's just go back 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? If I would have said, hey, there are people that think that they're cats and they got kitty litter boxes in schools now. I mean, you'd have put me in a straitjacket and walked me out the door. Right? Hello? If I would have come in here 15 years ago and said, now I was joking earlier, right? Because all the moms get a cake over there. And I said, hey, I identify as a mom today, so I'm going to take a cake. Is that okay? Right? But seriously, what I'm saying is this, that what happens is the seducing spirit will work on you over time. See, what happens is over time, it breaks people down who are what not in Joshua 1:8 and 9, right? Let's look at Joshua 1:8. This is so perfect. Joshua 1:8. Unquoted, but I just want to read it. It's good. It's good. I was in the Bible college. It's like, you can quote it, but if you can go back and read it, because this is very important, because what happens is this. The seducing spirit, you know, guys, we never get lost, right? I mean, come on, let's face it. We never get lost, right? We're just, you know, those people that are directionally challenged, you know. And so we never get lost. But I tell you what happened to me one time, I was hunting. I got lost. I had directions here. And I was like 16, 17 years old. And what happened was the guys that I was hunting with, they said, hey, why don't you go over, you're going to go over this hill, and then what it's going to do is just follow the creek and go on there. Well, what happened was when I got over the side of the hill, the creek split before I got over the hill. So when I got over the hill, it was split and it was going in this direction. Well, what happened was this. I was heading in this direction, but incrementally the creek started taking me over time. Right? So you don't get lost just by all of a sudden one day, hey, I'm lost. It's incremental, right? Yeah. I mean, you're not, like, for example, before you all came to church or sometime today, this morning, maybe you were at home, you don't look back and say, you don't get out in front of your driveway and say, oh, I'm lost, right? You know, I mean, hello, right? But what does it happen? It happens incrementally. And then over time, what happens is you look back. So what happened to me while I was hunting was all of a sudden I'm off and I'm way off and I'm thinking nothing looks familiar, right? Well, what happened was I had wrong information that I followed, and then eventually, step by step, and then all of a sudden, I'm waking up thinking to myself, I'm lost. And it was just, that was a grace of God thing too, because I was, that was wonderful. I had the sheriff called on me, and that was wonderful. But anyway, I ended up, I got my shotgun, and luckily I was knocking on this farmer's door, and his wife came to the door, and I'm like, it was snowing real bad, so it was awful. And so anyway, I told this lady, you know, that was, you know, good Iowa hospitality. So she let me in, called, and I said, hey, I'm okay, you know, it's all right. And anyway, the lady said, do you realize that there's like 10,000 acres back here? And if you would have gone, didn't see our house, our farmhouse, that you never come back. I mean, they wouldn't find until the next day. And just God just kind of like, well, I saw a combine, and I'm like, oh, there's life form. You know, the light, you know, I feel like a bug. I didn't get zapped. But I saw a combine out there, I'm like, hey. And it was snowing down and crazy. But the point is, you don't just wake up lost. It's one of those things, it's incremental. And that's what seducing spirits do. It's an incremental thing. And what happens is if you're not anchored in, just like Joshua 1:8, it says here, see, can I just back up? We always think of this scripture as being prosperous. Let me tell you something. Having your mind under control is prosperous. See, we got to get out of this thinking of dollar signs all the time. And I'm embarrassed to say it sometimes, but the charismaniacs, we are too focused on money sometimes rather than our soul and our spirit, okay? Now, some people are good, and there's a balance with some people, but I'm saying people are just, they're just some people that are way out there. And so we think of prosperity, we think of dollars. Well, that's a flesh thing, guys. It's a flesh thing, right? But we're focused on the spirit realm, we have to worry about those things. And it says here, verse 8, this book of law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate day and night. So we don't ever take our eyes off this, do we? Right? Well, I'm going to think about this, and maybe this philosophy and this philosophy. I mean, let me just tell you this. When I was an undergraduate and I studied philosophy, those philosophers were depressed and confused, right? And I'm supposed to follow these people? It's like, this one commits suicide, this one's got manodepressants. It's like, well, yeah, if I was thinking up all this garbage all the time and there was no absolutes in my life, yeah, it would be depressing. Because you're not anchored in anything. It doesn't matter. And that's where seducing spirits come in. Because why? Because they get you off one day at a time, one day at a time, one day at a time, one day at a time. And then it goes on, it says, and day and night that you may observe to do all that is written therein, and you shall make your ways prosperous and have good success. Now, why is that? Again, we need to get away. I am way off topic. I'm not even talking about anything. I'm just kind of going. I just feel led down this direction. But success is having God inside of us. It's kind of like the old adage, you know, don't give me a meal, but show me how to fish, right? Show me how to do these things. That's where God's revelation comes in. When we get the word in us, it shields us from things. It shields us from the garbage of the world, right? Because the world is not, the world doesn't have, it has nothing. I'm going to just say this. You know, the people 30 years ago, for example, their standards on TV and Hollywood or whatever, or you've been talking to your neighbors or friends, they have gone from here to over here, yeah. Right? And they have no idea why they went from here to over here. Well, because everybody else is doing it. Right? Well, Andrew and I have been in places where we got kicked out of places because we don't put up with it. And everybody else is lulled to sleep. Right? No, because this is the standard. The news is not the standard, right? Politicians are definitely not the standard, right? Sports people are definitely not the standard. And even some ministers are not the standard. The Word is the standard, right? That's what I come back to. There are ministers that we don't have anything to do with each other anymore that I used to associate with because they've gone off the deep end. People that I know. No. Meditate day and night. The Word. Healing is for everybody all the time. Will God please heal me? No, healing, salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit is up to you to receive. It's not about God giving you anything. It's already done, right? But see, what happens is we listen to things and we base it. See, that's where seducing spirits come in, and too many people in denominational churches, they're listening to seducing spirits. They're not getting in the Word because guess what? Whether I see it in my life or not, the Word works, yes. Right? And what happens is then if it doesn't work the way that I think or the way that I think God should do it or whatever, then I start creating doctrines. And that's seducing spirits. Because then it says, well, you didn't get healed because of X, Y, Z. No, I didn't get healed because I just didn't receive it from God, right? Now, the deceptive part is if it doesn't happen, then I begin to create my own theology. Then I begin to assign, you know, a character of God. Well, maybe he just doesn't love me. Maybe, you know, it's not his will for everybody. It's not this, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this. How about me get back and change some things in my life rather than trying to get God to change things for me? Because that's really all denomination is like, well, it didn't work, so I'm going to try to do some things in the flesh to try to get God to do something. And that never works. I'll just tell you right now, I've tried it before. When you get in the flesh and you don't go to the Word, it just becomes a mess. And it's a nightmare. Still love me. I love you. But it's good, right? Let's read it again. Because again, seducing spirits are not just about, you know, it's drags you gradually. Like, well, I don't want to go to church today. I don't want to do this today. I don't want to do that today. And there's always an excuse. And what happens is there's an excuse, and then you're off the deep end somewhere. And I just want to share something with you guys. I was having a conversation with one of the girls this week, and we got in this conversation about the power. And this is something that is very powerful, the power of following God. And, you know, I opened up to her, one of the girls, about my family and some of my distant family and just basically how the devil just ransacked through my family, right? I mean, I have one side of the family, every person's been divorced 3 times, one on their 4th marriage. It's just, nobody stays married. The other side, every person's been divorced, right? Now, if you've been divorced, this isn't condemnation, but I'm saying every single person has been, I mean, we're talking multiple people, and we're talking about multiple times, right? And how we, our household, this is what's very important, because you can get a seducing spirit to say, well, I'm just going to follow that. That's just going to happen to me. Well, grandma and grandpa were like this, this and this and this, right? My grandfather was on his 4th relationship. My grandmother was divorced 3 times. You know, when I showed up at her house, Adrian was really, she was drunk. She had half a lung. I said half a lung because she'd smoked so bad. I mean, we're talking about addiction problems. We're talking about all these problems, and I'm not here to air out my family's dirty laundry. But my point is this, that when we focus on the Word, we can say no to the devil, right? I don't do demons anymore, right? You know, everybody's like, well, you're just extreme and everything. No, I don't want my kids to go down a dark avenue that I experienced when I was a kid. Right? And these train wrecks of relationships all around me all the time. It's just absolute, just, I mean, we don't have to go there. Amen. Right? And what happens is because they did, they let go of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, seducing spirits. There was no God in any of our households, right? Now my parents served the Lord, but I'm saying everybody else didn't. And guess what? You see the results. Very, very unpopular, right? Well, I just believe in freedom and do what I want to. Well, you're gonna reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow, right? I'm telling you right now. Because I see what the devil has done to my family members and people that were close to me, that it's just, it's terrible. And I vowed, you know, one of my family members, you know, we put him in the ground, and the whole time I'm thinking, he's not, I know he's not saved. And this person I looked to, when I was a little kid, I really looked up to him, you know. I don't know if he's born again or not, but that just, it's horrible for me to know that a person that I was really close to as a little boy had so many addictions and so many problems, but I may never see him again in eternity. See, that's what letting... Oh, you're just radical. No, I'm not radical. I'm not radical at all. I want to be biblical. And biblical says we're going to run with God no matter what. You know, the crazy thing is like, well, you know, you're extreme, you're this, you're that, whatever. Some people have even said, you know, well, you know, if they're around them and they start talking about tongues, let us know, and, you know. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, you know. I didn't say this, I'm not legalistic either, right, with my kids. Because I pound on their head, it's your decision. You have to make the right decisions, right? I'm not going to be there for you. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your whole life, right? Mm-hmm. But God is the one. See, we're trying to focus on, you know what? They're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We don't expect perfection, but we expect people with hearts to run after God. That's the main thing, right? Yeah. I love God. I just want to be with him. You know what? You're going to miss the mark sometimes. That's okay. But at the end of the day, you run with God, you want his will in your life, right? Because, hey, we don't need that pressure. You have to be perfect. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. But what it is it means that we come back and we don't submit to seducing spirits, right? This is a really good teaching. I'm telling you right now. It is really good teaching. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm kidding. Because we're all stewards, right, of our bodies, of our finances, of our kids. It doesn't matter what it is. Everything's on loan with God. We are on loan. We do not belong to ourselves. We are stewards, and we're going to give an account for that someday, right? Because it's all going to burn up. Only that of value will remain. So again, Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart of my mouth, but I shall meditate therein day and night. You may have good, may observe to do according to what was written therein. You shall have good success and your ways prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Define success. I'll tell you what defined success is: me being healthy, right? My family being healthy, my family being happy, my family living a godly life. That's success to me, right? And again, we pervert the scripture, unfortunately. And again, we got to get out of this Western, and again, they if you study our history and how things have been perverted, we don't even know it, but our historic in the 20s, they actually changed our history books to have an economic perspective. See, that's why when you study the Boston Tea Party, It's about taxation without representation. It doesn't have anything to do with about we were dealing with slavery at the time, right? And we wanted to get rid of that. We wanted to get rid of all of this other garbage. We wanted religious freedom. That's never talked about. Why? Because in the 20s, they said, we're going to target, have everything as an economic focus, right? Because when you hear the Boston Tea Party, what do you think? Taxation without representation. That was one of 32 grievances they had against England, right? But we don't talk about that. See, again, it's not conspiracy. It's called history, right? Yeah. We wanted to get rid of slavery from day one. Mm-hmm. We wanted to get rid of all of this garbage and didn't drag that over from England at the time. But see how the world system continually puts its seducing spirit on us. See, we don't even maybe realize that seducing spirit, but see, it was there from historians with an agenda to get us to think about. See, that's why everything with us is focused on money. And that's why the Bible talks about the love of money is what? The root of all evil. And if we think of everything in dollar and cents, and we don't think about everything about righteousness, then what are we going to do, right? Oh, and I could go so deep into the financial system and... I'm learning stuff I don't even want to know about. You know, you read that sometimes where you're just like, I don't want to know about that stuff. So we're going to have good success. And I ask you, how do you find success? Right? How do you define success? Because, yeah, I just laugh about this. I remember, I'm you know, probably older than a lot of you here. But my grandpa always judged somebody on whether they were a good worker or not. You know, he's a good worker. She's a good worker. Because they realized it wasn't about, again, money, but it was about, do you have character? That's what matters. You know, do you have an internal will, or do you have an internal motivation? Right? Because if you've got the internal motivation, then things will happen because you just do things. Like Adrian's talking about the natural and supernatural, Pastor Hagin talks about, right? Again, instead of having a million, I'll take $1 million, that's fine. But I'd rather have an opportunity or a door or wisdom or something from God to open something up so I can't just make a million, but I can make 10 million, 100 million, a billion, right? And again, I'm telling you, Ephesians 3rd chapter, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or think, right? I mean, can I say something? You are bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. The kingdom is bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. Now think about that for a minute. The seeds and the God nature on you and the dreams and everything that God has implanted on you are bigger than you. And it even goes beyond this life, right? Ephesians talks about eons and eons or ages and ages to come. Kind of losing some people here, right? But you are 1,000 times bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. Why? Because there are things in you God has deposited in you that we have to pray out. We have to get out, right? How many have dreams for business, right? How many have dreams for, you know, go back to school or get an education? Or maybe somebody has dreams to do something, whatever that is. I mean, give me a break. That's just not you, right? I mean, why in the world? There's some people I know here that you have a desire to help people and to do something, and God is just burning some things in you. That is there for a reason. And what is part of seducing spirit? Well, it's to pull that away from you, right? To pull you away from that and say, I don't know. Let's turn to Jude 20. I have no idea where I'm going, but it sure feels good right now. Jude 20. Jude 20. Chapter 1. It's a joke. There's only one chapter. I got a laugh or two. You are so much bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. I'm telling you that right now. And that is a deep statement. Jude 20 says, but ye beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What are some things to unlock on yourself is praying in the Holy Ghost. See, again, this is seducing spirit. Can I just say this too? It doesn't mean sometimes seducing spirits come along and they drag you. Sometimes what the seducing spirits will give is just get you to tame things down a little bit, right? Maybe you were, you know, on fire doing things before, and now things are just meh. This is this word here talks about like charging like a battery, like to recharge. To recharge. Guess what? If we don't recharge ourselves, we're going to fall into, can I say you, the biggest danger and the biggest threat to us is comfort, complacency, right? You know, should we tell them about your trip? Yeah. So Adrienne, is it next year? Yeah. Next year? She's going to be going to South Africa. So we're really excited about her. She's going to do some missions in South Africa. So I'm proud of her. She's going to do, is an orphanage there?
Well, there is people that they're snatching these kids out of these places that they literally be killed. And then it's called Ruby Havens. And then they take them to this one child foundation. And then I'm going with my cousin Mike. He invited me to go with some people he knows. And you're basically just ministering to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they are orphans.
Yep.
They are orphans.
So we're...
And it's basically a swan.
Right. So we're really excited. She's going to have a great opportunity there. I just remember when I came back from Africa into the United States, and I've noticed other places... But when I came from there and they flew back into the United States and I was flying into Detroit, Minneapolis. When I flew back into Minneapolis, I went through Detroit. But I felt the complacency come on me, you know, from this country. You leave and you come back and all of a sudden I was met with, and I've been to certain places like, for example, San Francisco, there's a spirit there. Yeah. Went to New Orleans, there's a spirit there. It's that when you start having the sense of gift of discernment, spiritual discernment. I remember we walked into the French Quarter there in New Orleans. It was like a wall, and the demonic spirits were waiting for me when I got there. You can sense it. And the same with here. There is a complacency in America. I'm telling you right now, because when I flew out, it left me, but when I came back in, it met me. See, that's a seducing spirit, right? It's not getting you to necessarily get into this big sin, but what it's doing is it's just, everything's comfortable. Yeah.
It's the deceitfulness of riches, the pride of life, and the deceitfulness of riches.
Right, right. And so what happens is our comfort is our security blanket.
Intoxicated.
And just like Adrian was out to eat with a friend, and the friend was choking, and people actually turned because they didn't want to deal with it.
They laid in their seats because they didn't, and she was dying. Like, I'm help. No one would help us. Because it was so hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this lady said to me, because I got a little rough with her after she didn't help me. And it just grossed her out.
Right. So we'd rather see somebody choke to death rather than get out of our comfort zone. See, but that's where we're at, though, in America. You know, I'm just saying, people are so, they don't want to be out of their comfort zone. That is a seducing spirit. Because when we choose not to do what is right, when we know it's right, it's sin. See, that's when you see, when you sit here and you get revelation and we don't act on it, then it's sin, right? Because now we know, and oops, we're going to be judged for it. But then we can't have an excuse, ha la 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 la, I don't want to hear it. No, you want to go with God. It is a pleasure to have revelation and to walk deeper with God. It is. That's why, you know, people argue so much about, you know, speaking in tongues and this and that, but it's, I was going to go there. We don't have time tonight, and that's okay. We'll pick up next week. But this is very important, the seducing spirits, because the seducing spirits are going to take you little by little, little by little, little by little, little by little, and then all of a sudden, right? I've seen just so many people, and unfortunately, there's some people here that aren't in this church anymore that I just saw them incrementally. They just start floating along, floating along, floating along, floating along, and then they're just off the radar. Just never hear from them again. And it's not, well, pastor just doesn't, you know, wants everybody to show. We definitely miss when you're gone, but the point is, it's like your family, you're just opening yourself up to enemy to have what? Seducing spirits, right? Well, this is okay, this is okay, this is okay. A frog doesn't, you know, it's kind of like the whole thing when you put a frog in water and you turn it up and that water gradually gets hotter. Why? Because he's getting used to it and all of a sudden, oops, I'm toast. Now it's too hot. That's what seducing spirits are. They gradually turn up the heat little by little by little by little by little. Let me just tell you something. The kingdom of hell is very patient. Very patient. Because you and I, our lives are like a flash in the pan to them. And again, it isn't compared to eternity, but they're into destruction, and they'll take, you know, years and years and years to break you down. But you know what? We don't have to be broke down. We can break them down. Amen. Right? Because Guess what? They are more afraid of us. They're more afraid of, what they're really afraid of is that name of Jesus. Yeah. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. And I'll tell you what, if you do have the opportunity to see Nefarious, I would go see it. Very good. Very eye-opening to things I've experienced with people that I've seen in the past. I'm just telling you what, very eye-opening. It's not that you be scared, but what it does, it opens you up to the agenda and the way the devil thinks and the way the devil works. It's a great movie to have a revelation of how the devil works, right? We don't give the devil any glory at all, but again, we need to know how our enemy operates. He's very patient. He takes things in increments, right? And as long as he can get you off a little bit every day, or a little bit every week, or a little bit every month, and all of a sudden you're way off. You're doing things you probably never thought you were. You know, I just say this, when I was backslid, I was, you know, playing in bars and you know, playing in clubs and everything else too, and doing things, and it was like, people would come to see me and they would drink and do things that they never did before. Why? Because I was in an environment and presented things to them, and then what? Because the environment, hello? That's why it's so important to come to church and to be in praise and worship together, because it's the environment. But it's for good, right? I mean, I saw things in these clubs and stuff that I will never talk about in public, right? The Bible talks about you don't even mention those things. And I remember just being placed, I listen to Jesse Duplantis, and I'm like, he is me. When I listen to Jesse Duplantis and his testimony, I'm like, that's me, right? It would just be sin running rampant and just all kinds of garbage going on. But we don't have to be in that environment. But the point is that the devil likes to influence to get, and that seducing spirit will pull us away. And all of a sudden we look back and we're lost or we're off. But you know, we don't have to be. And you know, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, which, sorry guys, I haven't even started my sermon yet. But the point is this, that we don't have to put up with this. Amen? And when we have the Word in us and we meditate on the Word, that's what gives life, right? The Word, oh, let's read that. Man, we got to end with that scripture. Hebrews chapter 4. This is kind of a unintended message tonight. Sorry. But I don't take any of it back. Yeah, I love it. Hebrews chapter 4. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Hebrews chapter 4, 12. This is one of the reasons why the devil hates this, is because verse 12 it says, "For the word of God is quick." It's quicker than the devil. "And powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Can I just say this too? When the Lord comes back, His second coming, I'm not talking about the rapture. The rapture and the second coming are not the same. The rapture is us, and the end of Thessalonians, where it says that, you know, basically grandma and grandpa are going to blow out the grave when the trumpet happens, and then you and I, everybody who's still here, man, I hope it's tonight. But anyway, the rapture is going to... I worked in a cemetery, and I always thought, man, it'd be so cool to be here at the rapture. Wouldn't it be cool? I was a little like sometimes at night, you know, especially right now when we're getting close to Memorial. Brian and I both worked at the cemetery. But anyway, I just remember right around Memorial Day, you know, we're Memorial Weekend, we're working all these hours and getting everything cleaned up, and sometimes it'd be night, we'd have the headlights on, and I'm like, dude, it'd be so cool to be here during the rapture, man, you know? Boom, and then, okay, me. I always thought that'd be so cool, you know, working or being in a cemetery or something, you know, or you know, that'd be cool, like a Memorial Day, the Lord comes back. But anyway, I digress. But when the second coming comes, when Jesus comes and He's going to take care of business, right? He's going to ride on my horse, and once He's got a sword in His mouth. That's the Word. He's got the Word. He is the Word. That's incredible. Because the devil is afraid of you using the Word on him. He's scared to death of you knowing your place. The devil, there's something too. And I notice that people that are very worldly and who are given to seducing spirits, there's a word they don't like, and it's called no. Everyone knows that? They don't like the word no. And they don't like people to disagree with them. They just like bobbleheads all the time. And when you say no, then that seducing spirit comes out, right? And it gets mad. So anyway, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, dividing the soul and sunder." Guess what? The word of God is going to divide what your flesh is and what the Spirit of God is calling you to do or speaking to you, right? This is supposed to be, well, I just don't know if it's God or not. You get into the word, it's going to divide your flesh and your spirit. It's going to reveal some things about you, right? The Apostle Paul talks about it's like a mirror. You're going to see yourself and you're going to see your imperfections. I got a lot of imperfections, right? Look in the mirror. Every day I get up in the mirror, I'm like, oh boy, that's bad. Yikes. Right? Thank God for the Word. It tells us where we're missing it, where we need help. Can you imagine going to the doctor, you know, And you say, well, I got this and this and this and this. And he's like, take a Flintstone vitamin. You're okay. Just forget. Everything's okay. It's all right. Right? Eat an apple. Apple a day will keep the doctor away, right? Oh, the Flintstone vitamins? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I got a confession to make before we leave here. As a kid, we would have the Flintstone vitamins, and man, I would just eat those things like crazy, you know? They tasted so good. Little thing, they're like candy, you know? I'm like, well, they're Flintstone's vitamins, man. I'm gonna look at Arnold Schwarzenegger by morning. These things are awesome, right? They've got to be good for me. I ate 20 of them, Mom. Right, exactly. Or everything you need to know about me. So, just saying. But anyway, how'd you like to have a doctor go to the doctor, and you're like, I got this thing growing off my side of my, off my body. Oh, it's okay. No, the word not only shows you what is wrong with you, but he gives you how to fix it. And also, too, that we know that the word is also, the whole point of the word and God is what? So that you may have life, what? And more abundantly. Just because we have air coming in and out of our nostrils doesn't mean everything's okay. The devil loves to keep you alive as long as you're miserable. And as long as you're producing miserable offspring. But once you start being happy, you ever heard of like I've been around people before, they are miserable and they don't like it when you're happy. The devil doesn't like it when you're happy. And the devil doesn't like it when you're praising God, because then it's like you're having no effect on me. I'm free from you. Like the brother Hagin used to say all the time when I listened to him, he's like, just laugh at the devil. Just laugh at him. Why? Because he is of no effect. I remember Lester Summerall one time talking about, woke up in the middle of the night, and there was the enemy standing there looking at him, and he said, oh, it's just you. I went back to sleep. When we realize how powerful Jesus is and God is, the devil's insignificant anymore, right? But what happens is when we give ourselves over to seducing spirits, then what happens is then it's like our problems become bigger, the devil becomes bigger, and the book of Psalms says, magnify the Lord in everything that we do. Now, God isn't going to get any bigger because he's already infinite. But what happens is our thinking is small, and we need to change our thinking. And the book of Psalms says, magnify the Lord. Really just means, in your mind, make him bigger than what he is. Or make him bigger than what you think he is, because it's still too small. Because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what all we can ever ask or think. And part of the seducing spirit is keeping you at bay, thinking that God can't do it or won't do it. That's seducing spirit. See, seducing spirit is not just about, oh, I'm just demon-possessed, or we're going to worship the devil, and we're going to cut ourselves up and do weird stuff. No, all it means is that you're not believing the Bible to the full extent. That's it. Because it's like anything like religious folks. They believe in salvation, but then all of a sudden, I don't believe in healing. I don't believe in baptism, Holy Spirit. I don't believe in this. 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 And I don't believe in this. Well, what do you believe anymore? You just cut out about half the Bible, right? I remember being in Damata and Mark Brzee. We were to that school. You know, people are like, well, I just don't believe in, you know, prosperity. I don't believe in this. How can you not read the Bible and not believe in prosperity? How is that not possible, right? Like in the days of Solomon, you know, they had so much money, they were stacking silver up in piles because it wasn't worth anything. That's prosperity. I mean, that's like when you have so much money and you're so prosperous, and the people keep bringing more and more money, more and more gold to build the temple, and you're like, I can't take anymore. You know what? I want to have that problem. Don't you? Right? That'd be a nice problem to have, wouldn't it? I got so much cash, I can't. I don't know what to do with all this money. It's piled up everywhere, right? God's able to do it. I think we're going to see things in the near future that God's going to do some pretty dazzling, amazing, incredible stuff, right? Because I'm telling you what, when the devil comes along and oppresses people and God's people stand up, God delivers us. You can't tell me that, I mean, I'm sorry. I know I'm going off here, but you know, the devil wants to shorten up this timeline. He wants to push us into the tribulation. He wants to do these things. But I'm telling you what, the word talks about that there's going to be an outpouring, and we haven't seen the outpouring yet. That's going to happen before the tribulation comes. It's not on the devil's timeline. It's on God's timeline when things are going to happen, right? He chooses when the rapture is going to happen. He chooses when, you know, the tribulation is going to, he's going to allow the tribulation to happen. He chooses when the second coming is going to come. He chooses when the millennial reign is going to happen. He chooses when we're going to end up in eternity. This isn't the devil's call. The devil doesn't, he's not that powerful. He's not the one responsible for any of those things, right? And the reason I'm saying that is because I know the word says there in the book of Acts and other places that there is going to be an outpouring on this earth like we've never seen before. The latter shall be greater, or the latter shall be greater than the former. We are going to see God show up like never before. It's been prophesied by many people, and the word says it. We're going to see God manifest like never before. And what's to happen is the seducing spirit says, everything's over, it's all awful, it's all terrible. Let me just say this. What if the economy does crash? What if the dollar does drop? You know what? There could be some good things come out of it. I'm just saying. Right? Actually, kind of would be nice to get rid of the dollar and the fiat system and base it on gold. That would be a good thing, wouldn't it? But see, the enemy and the lies and the news and everything's telling you everything's going to, you know, well, they're hiding things, but I'm just telling you what right now, God has a plan. I'm resting in that. Because we know the word says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Why do the righteous need the financing? Because we got gospel to spread. And you can't tell me that the world, the elite, the New World Order, all those crooked people are going to end up with all the money and we're going to end up with nothing. That's not the way it's going to happen. It just won't happen that way. I'm telling you right now. It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. Right? I believe they're all going to be stuck with stuff that's worth nothing and God's currency is going to come in at some point. I believe it. God's got a plan. You know, the crazy thing is, every time we see in the Bible, it looks like the devil's always winning. God has this sneaky, brilliant plan. Just like Jesus. When Jesus came, he died on the cross. You know, I bet the devil's kicking himself now that he crucified Christ. Because when he crucified Christ, he actually hung his own, he created his own noose, and he destroyed himself in the process. But that's the devil's character for you, right? Trying to do things and he ends up destroying himself in the process. Hallelujah. Don't give in to seducing spirits. Don't give in to seducing spirits. Because it doesn't matter what the world does, God has got us. He said he'd provide all of our needs according to riches and glory. Oh, except for 2023 with the economy and the stock market and the dollar and this and that. Oh, he's going to help provide all your needs except because of right now during high inflation. Oh, the stock market's all over the place. He's going to supply all your needs except for then. God's got a plan. Amen? And I rest in him. My provision is not from this world system at all. It is not. 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 Father, we just thank you for tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you glory tonight, Jesus, that you are wonderful. Father, we give you glory tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We keep our eyes steadfast on you tonight, Lord, in your system. And we don't look to a Babylonian system. We don't look to the demonic. We don't give heed to seducing spirits and lies of the enemy. But tonight we rest in your word in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you glory and honor tonight. Father, we thank you tonight that we are walking boldly. We are proclaiming the goodness of God. We are walking in your spirit, Lord. And we glorify you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. We were talking about cake and all kinds of food. Now I'm hungry. You guys have a good week.